once you're married and you have kids, you're making your own family. So it becomes a thing where you've got to understand that you're not going to see your mom and dad as much as you normally used to. And there's nothing wrong with that, because you're carving out your own family out of that knit. That's the whole point of it. So you've got to sit there and go, when it comes down to it, it's all said and done, is this the person that I want to ostracize myself with and make my own little bubble with? And if these things that you're chipping at are start to roll up and become a problem, that's when that unconditional love kicks in and you go, maybe I should just keep looking.
What's going on, everybody? I hope you are doing well. Welcome to Talking to My Thoughts, where we have open, honest, and raw conversations about, well, our thoughts. The topics will range from anxiety, life goals, relationship, kids, money, work, everything that runs through our head. So you know the possibilities are going to be endless. So let's get straight into it. You're here with Craig, aka Mr. Positive.
Yeah, and you're here with Simon, aka SJ.
And you're here with Stefan, aka SJP.
So welcome, Stefan. This is your first time on the podcast. Mm-hmm. I know we're going to have a good time. SJ is a good friend of all of us. Well, SJP, oh my God.
There's too many.
But still, let's get started on this. Today is Valentine's Day. So I know yours are having a special little day, or you're not. I don't know really. I'm not trying to judge, but maybe people don't really know what Valentine's Day actually is. Wikipedia says Valentine's Day, also called Saint Valentine's Day or the Feast of Saint Valentine, is celebrated annually on February the 14th. That's it, really. That's all they have. Observances is sending greeting cards and gifts and dating and church services.
Can I ask a question? You might not know this yet, but if it's like a holiday about essentially a saint, I'm assuming it's like a Catholic holiday or a Christian holiday, yeah? Mm. Where did this whole love thing come from about presents and gifts, and how did that work out?
I don't know, actually, because I just saw that observances, and it actually says gifts. The day, like the love thing, and then it says church service, and I've never heard anybody say they go in church.
In it,
I did. That's not realize there's any kind of. In it, unless I knew today. Unless I knew today.
So we learn new things every day, and as you can see, not everybody probably relates perfectly with that. But I actually don't know where the whole gifts thing. I guess it's something that we just learned and we just saw on TV, etc.
All I know is that this is the year. Leap year is when anyone can get it.
That's all
I know. Because as far as I'm aware, it's like, I think it's like an Irish tradition or something like that. They used to, I can't remember what the name is for it. But when there's a leap year, it's the year when women are allowed to legally propose to a man. So you, just letting you guys know, I'm already married, so I'm safe.
Hold on. So that means any woman that proposes out of a leap year, their wedding is illegal, like their marriage is illegal.
I didn't make the rules. I didn't make the rules. I just checked it. So It's called Bachelor's Day. Everyone can do their own Google. Oh, they can all check Wikipedia. But Bachelor's Day is an Irish tradition on Leap Day, allowing women to initiate dances and propose marriage.
Mad. Oh, wow. We switch trading places like Usher. So that's a bit mad. Like, I wonder how many people actually believe that they could be proposed to by their woman.
The question is, how many people would accept it as well? Because you kind of got to look at it as... And I don't want to kind of go down the route of what kind of society sees, but the whole proposal thing is seen as like is the thing that the man does. The man kind of goes down on one knee, you know, he's got the ring. I feel bad saying it, but I feel like I'd be a little bit demasculinated or whatever the word is. Mm. Like I'm there, my wife goes down on one knee and says, "Oh, look, honey, will you marry me?" I'm like, right, this was meant to be my job.
Then when you're holding her hand and she's thinking you're accepting, you're just like raising her back up like that.
Why are you there? What's your thoughts? Like, without getting yourself in trouble, like if you was in a situation, let's not use your existing partner, just to keep you safe and free. But in general, as in your dating life, if someone had ever proposed to you, how would you have taken that? How would you have felt?
I think, in the sense, I would feel odd about it. And it's not because maybe so I don't believe, or it's because like, it's not the way it's supposed to be. It's just something I've learnt. Mm. So, and I think I've acknowledged that I've learnt the tradition through either through church or through our religion or through our family, that it's just like, or in black culture,
men basically are the ones that propose and do that traditional stuff. But again, we love to pick and choose things that are traditional because obviously back in the day, it was like, well, men are the providers, women are the ones that take care of the kids at the house. Olden is things that where men pay the bills and pays for the food, whereas a woman will maybe make the food and do the cleaning up. So there's a lot of things that we like to pick and choose. So actually, I'm not completely, not I'm, sorry. I'm personally against, like, I would prefer to be the one that proposes versus actually being proposed to. However, I'm not against if somebody else does it. Like, I'm not going to start pointing fingers and saying that's mad, because I'm not going to lie, there was memes online that was talking about some women were willing to count the grains of rice in a rice bag before they even think about proposing to them. And I was like, is it that mad?
But why though? Why is that? Is that a situation where the woman kind of sees it as, it's difficult because obviously we haven't got any females in the room right now. Yeah. Just to clarify that. But like, why is it seen that for a woman that it's kind of like a failure, do you think, for them to have to initiate it?
Bro, like, I believe in equality, innit? Like, I don't think there's a problem. If you're in a relationship and you both think that you're at that place, and whether you're the woman and you take it upon yourself to be like, okay, I'm going to make that step. I don't think there's any looking down upon that, for one. I just think that if you have that feeling where you're comfortable enough in that relationship to do it, then just do it. Like, I think if you're at that place where you can do it, then just do it. I don't see anything wrong, even from the man's point of view, to be like, well, you should have done that. It's like, well, what does it matter? She proposed, you proposed. At the end of the day, it's a sign of your love for each other and where you want to take the relationship next. Whoever makes that step first, like, it shouldn't be an argument against that. Like, someone took the step and now you're there, innit? Like,
true. Which I respect that, because again, I always question people, kind of like a kid that always asks why, and then you have to keep explaining, and then you get to a point where you can't answer anymore. Mm. If you kept asking yourself, why is it that marriage or proposal has to be done by the man, etc., stuff like that. If you kept asking yourself why, you're just going to come to a point where you just realize, I just got taught it. And that's just how it is. And then you have to, but then I question you and say, well, does that mean that everything you was taught is the way that life is supposed to be? Because then you actually know, well, we're going through, especially in Black culture, we're kind of trying to break certain traditions and trying to reimagine your life in your own way, because, you know, society changed, times have changed. So does that actually mean that maybe the way that proposals and other things work? Because as Simon's saying, end of the day, whoever proposed, you're getting married if you want each other.
If that's what you wanted.
The whole point is that you're living your life together. It's not about the statement. It's not about your ego, like, oh, who did it best in the thing. It's like, you just want to live your life together, and that is the statement you're trying to make to each other.
But that's what it comes down to. It comes down to judgment, you know?
Yeah.
It comes down to judgment, because I think
one
there's people...
Judgment,
well, that's what it is. That's what it is, because it comes down to it where they sit there and they're happy to get married, but then it's like, oh, so you had to propose to him. Mm. And you know you got them aunties that are like,
If she hadn't proposed
to him, he would never have done it, you know? He was never in... And that's where I think society, social media, all of those typical cliche things, it plays such a big part on so much stuff. Because I honestly think the reason why it's only a leap year that this is kind of seen as acceptable is because people are still uncomfortable with the kind of concept of a woman proposing to a man, because a man's going to look at it and go, okay, like, she proposed to me, she's taken away what was meant to be a man thing to do, and my boy's going to look at me like, Ross, she trapped you, bro. it's not that you wanted it as well, but it's the thing where, again, society is telling you this is what a man's role is meant to be, and it shouldn't really be that.
I highly agree with the sense of this society and the way that, how much we allow it to influence our lives, especially inside our own homes, how we allow it to just kind of lead us. Like, these people don't pay your bills, they don't live your life, they don't do the challenge that you have to do, or they don't work in your relationship. So why are you scared to make certain moves or do certain things because of what society has to say? However, we, as you know, in Talking to My Thoughts, we always do pre-recordings where we are literally talking to ourselves about the subject, because the way we speak to ourselves is very different to how we speak to everybody else. So let's bun society and what they have to say. Let's listen to ourselves and how we really speak to ourselves about these kind of subjects. So we're going to kick off with Simon's voice recording first. Listen closely and pay close attention to details.
Love, 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 love. Mad. It's weird saying it, like, for me, it's not something I say often, to be fair. And I don't know if that's just as a guy, you're kind of taught to not be in tune with your feelings. You're a man, you're meant to be the rock of a relationship. You're not meant to really show your emotions. You're meant to just be that support. I get it though. I get why it's important to say. I get why it's important to love and to show you love people. You love your partner, you love your kids, you love your parents. I get it. Obviously, getting older, you learn how to be a lot more in tune with your feelings and your emotions and how to control them, I guess, how to manage them. As a young boy, you don't really get taught that. It's just something that you have to learn through experience. And it's whether you're learning it from the love you receive from your parents, the love you receive from your family, your friends, the people around you, and then you use that to reflect that same kind of energy onto other people. And then obviously when you get into a relationship, you use that same kind of energy and put that love towards someone else. And then when you have kids, it's a different kind of love. It's an unconditional love. So love is a big thing, man. But more so, it's just when you're in a relationship, it's difficult, man. Obviously at the start, it's beautiful, and it's, everyone says it's like the honeymoon season, honeymoon period. Everything's all chirpy, you don't really have any problems. Or if you do have problems, it's just a drop in the ocean. It's nothing. You get over it, and it's just like you just want to be with that person. You want to see them all the time. You're excited. It's new. It's fun. And then as time goes on, you get to know each other, and you might start living together, having kids together. And then you start learning traits and habits of that person that you didn't know about, which you don't like, or it just, they do things to frustrate you, and then you get into arguments, and it's like trying to coexist. There's no relationship that hasn't had its ups and downs. And I mean, for me, I've been in a few relationships, and it's, none of them are easy, to be fair. I'm in one now. I'm not a romantic person at all. I don't know, mate. I don't know. Maybe I could be. It's just having that motivation and that feeling to do it and not think that you're forcing it. Not to say that I'm not happy in my relationship and I don't love my partner. Not at all. It's definitely not to say that. I'm grateful all the time for what I have, for who I'm with. I really am. I definitely feel like I've learned through this relationship more about myself, for one. How do I shed this shield? If I fully commit to something, if I fully commit to loving, if I fully commit to, I don't know, marriage, the relationship, am I ready for it? Am I willing to give my complete self, be as vulnerable as I possibly can Maybe I'm just protecting myself, I don't know.
Firstly, he's like, woo! But I resonate with a lot of the pieces. Before we even get into like how I feel about it or whatever, do you feel there's a genuine fear that you hold about?
Oh yeah, 100%. 100%.
Have you figured out or even close to what it could be?
What the fear is, what I'm feared of. I don't even think it's a selfish thing to be like, rah, what? So I'm never going to be with anyone else again. It's not even a thought of that at all. It's just like, I don't know. I've never really, really, truly actually tried to process what and pinpoint what it is. I just know that commitment, am I ready to do that?
But if you don't mind me asking, is the person you're with at the moment now the mother of your kids?
She's the mother of my second child, yeah.
Do you feel like that kind of, that changes anything for you? Or do you feel like you factor that in and that has an effect on anything? Because I know with some people, it's like, sometimes it could be because the relationship with the first person didn't work out and it makes them now assess relationships differently. For other people, it could be that when they think of relationships now, it's not just about how does that affect me, but also how it affects my child as well. So it's like they just analyze things differently. It might not be that, but that's what I'd ask. That.
No, 100%. It's definitely, it does play a factor in it, but I don't let that be the be all and end all sort of thing. It's definitely something that you naturally take into consideration when you have a child and you're with someone and you're trying to think about making that commitment to the person that you're with. It's like, how will this affect our child if we don't make that commitment? Or, you know what I'm saying?
I can resonate completely with your fear that you have. And I think I kind of tried to understand that a bit last year. Like, I always tried to remove all external factors and try to think, okay, well, inside of me, what exactly is it that is missing or unmisunderstood, etc. And both me and you are quite self-reliant. Like, we, in the sense of our happiness, our jobs, the way we make our money, we're very self-reliant on how we adjust things, protect our peace, protect our happiness, etc.
Yeah.
And I came from a position where I was protecting it to the point where if you had any bad vibes, you can't be in my life. Actually, there was a case where, and at the same time, it also meant that if I allow too much of you in, you also have the potential to ruin what I would class as my peace.
So
my saying goes, I can live a really good life on my own because God made us complete, is what I believe. He gave us everything that we needed. We don't need anything externally.
Yeah.
My main line, and I think that this is like my theme for the year, is let go.
Yeah.
Stop thinking that your ego knows exactly how your life is supposed to pan out, the way that you're supposed to control your happiness, the way you're supposed to do everything. Because, yeah, we built our lives that way, especially us two. We built our lives that way, but these people didn't get put in our life so they can just be the backseaters of our own life.
Yeah.
They were there to actually also lead our life and help us go to even better places.
Yeah.
You can live a good life alone, but you can live a great life with somebody else. And when you don't learn to just let go, like I came to a point where, before I got into this relationship, I didn't want to date. I didn't want to do anything because I just didn't have a long-term intention. I was just scared of dating. I didn't know what to do. I was scared of getting into a relationship, and I knew that the next time I want to do it, I want to do it properly, but I'm actually going to let go. And then I asked myself, what would it take for me to just let go? What exactly am I waiting for? What more is there that I need from myself? And I couldn't figure it out. So I said, then just let go. And I did. And yeah, there was a lot of things that, this is a long amount of list of traits I had where I would just not let go. Need it be how long they stay at my place? How do I integrate them into my life? When my parents are around, am I going to spend more time with my parents? Or am I going to bring them with me when I'm with my parents? Stuff like that. And there's so many things I used to hold back. And I said, just let go. Yes, it's scary, but life is always going to be scary in the sense that you're going to have to just face these fears and just let go. You're not going to have the answer.
It's funny because at the same time, I know one of the things that you picked up on and you spoke about the honeymoon season. And the honeymoon season is when the person does let go and go, let me just follow this and see what happens.
Yeah.
And then halfway through that, it could be the smallest thing. Everything's cool. Everything's fine. Honeymoon season could last 5 days. It could last 6 months. It could last a couple of years. And then one day she turns up and she ain't creamed her foot. and suddenly you're like, don't like that she does that.
Yeah.
And do you get what I mean? And then suddenly you start to go, oh, and she ain't done this, or he ain't done that, or this person ain't done this. And then what you find is that your mind, there's that, everyone has a negative part in their mind, whether you listen to it or not, you have it, starts to kind of chip it and go, And another thing you raised up on was this unconditional love. And those are two things that battle each other. Because at the end of that honeymoon period, that honeymoon season, you've got that part that kind of starts to add up all of these things you're not really feeling and going, can I love that unconditionally, or does that bother me? You know?
That thought back.
Should am I comfortable saying, look, I'm going to be with this person for the rest of my life? Because I'm talking from someone who's married that and has a family. Once you're married and you have kids, you're making your own family.
Yeah.
So it becomes a thing where you've got to understand that you're not going to see your mom and dad as much as you normally used to. And there's nothing wrong with that, because you're carving out your own family out of that knit. That's the whole point of it. So you've got to sit there and go, when it comes down to it, it's all said and done, is this the person that I want to ostracize myself with and make my own little bubble with? And if these things that you're chipping at are start to roll up and become a problem, that's when that unconditional love kicks in and you go, maybe I should just keep looking. And that's one of the big issues I think there is. So I get where you're coming from.
There's a key part about that unconditional love, because we share it with our parents with ease.
Mm.
However, we don't try to predict what our parents are supposed to do and not do. You just let them be.
Yeah.
And then when it's your kids, same thing. You're like, oh, you're so stupid. I've got to teach you, but you let them be. Because they're going to surprise you no matter what. When it comes to a partner, there's so many things in social media and society and movies that makes us think what we know what a partner is by now, because we've watched enough movies. So then you're not allowing them to let them be.
Yeah.
You're thinking, I already know what I want. I already know what it's supposed to be.
I think also...
I have that problem. I'm not going to lie. I have that problem. And it's not even like to say that I'm like, with me and my partner, I try to be like, let her have her freedom and be herself in it. Not judge on any part and just do you. Obviously, there's certain things that may happen in the relationship that we need to work on, because obviously I may not be happy with certain things. We all have our faults in it. But I feel that when I get a lot of that judgment on me, and it's like a lot of that judgment comes from, oh yeah, but this person's doing this. Can't you see that this person treats this person like that? So why can't you be like that? It's like, but that's not me. You're almost like trying to make me into your perfect partner, when I think that we both need to just be accepting of each other and just work on us being us, rather than looking externally about how this person's doing it, or, oh, you see these people on Instagram all loved up and but all you see on Instagram is people's highlights. You don't see the lowlights. So stop looking at that and thinking that's what it should be like.
But that's where it comes down to the love languages. And I said love languages. Yeah, I said it. Because like for myself, I'm someone I can comfortably say that I'm quite touchy-feely. My love language is physical, you know, and those kind of intimate moments that you might have, even if it's just, okay, when we're just chilling and you rest your head on my shoulder, to me, that's okay, cool. There's an intimacy there and I like that. So I'm like that with my wife. And I think, yeah, cool, she's gonna love all of this.
Yeah.
No. that's Google trying to get involved. My wife's love language is acts of service. So for my wife, she would, if she comes home after a long day's work and you've cooked a meal that she hasn't had to ask you to make, that you've just done it off your own head, that to her is yes. Sold.
Best night ever.
That's it. So I can sit there and I can go there and I can buy her the flowers and I can give her hugs and I can give it. She don't even like chocolates, so you can't even use them kind of things. So all those things that works for a lot of people doesn't work for my wife. And it's very easy for it to be a thing where 2-3 months pass and I feel like I'm running things and repping. Like, I'm a dope husband, and it's like we might have an argument. It's like, yeah, you ain't cooked nothing for a while. You haven't taken any of these jobs off of me.
Yeah.
And I had to sit there and go, while I'm upset and I'm vexed, I'm like, yeah, but I've been doing this, and I've been doing that, I've been doing this. I still have to look at it and go, that's not her love language.
What was comfortable for you to do.
That's what was comfortable for me to do, and it was something that I would like back, but it wasn't her love language, and that's something that a lot of people have to understand.
I guess I'll share my love language is usually kind of I had a mixture of like kind of acts of service, words of affirmation and stuff like that, because actually as people may know, I'm like Mr. Positive, so I do a lot of motivational stuff, but people predict that actually Mr. Positive is always positive. But no, that's just an aspect, a small piece of me. So when I have somebody who can support me and actually pull me back up when I am a bit down, or just reaffirms things to me, that is actually a really powerful thing for me. Like they're checking on me and stuff like that. And then I think like touchy feely is like one of them as well. But I think it is part of access service. I remember these kind of things. There's such a slight mixture between them.
But they blend in.
Yeah. And I actually like the whole touchy feely thing from time to time. And then also the access service ways you actually just do things for each other and the words. So that's my kind of mixture. And again, and then my partner I'm with now, she's very a touchy feely person. Acts of words don't mean much to her, actually. Acts of service kind of does, where you do stuff. Like she just wants to see you see things through to the end. You say that you was going to do it, so you do it.
Yeah.
Or you say that you want her to be happy, and she's told you how to, so you do it.
Yeah.
In a sense. And I guess, you can explain your...
Yeah, to be fair, I'm not going to lie. I only found out what this love language thing was probably like 6 months ago. I'd never heard of it before, bro. I think was it my missus that sent... Someone sent me it might have been her.
Probably missing like, yo.
Someone sent me a link and then we're like, oh, check this out. I was like, what is this, bro? Why are you sending me this foolishness? But I did it anyway, and it confirmed a lot about how she sees love, what love is, and how I see what love is, and why we often have those issues, as you said, where it's like, well, I've been doing this, so how can you turn around and say that I haven't been doing nothing for you, or I haven't appreciated you, or I haven't shown you any love when I've been doing this? But that's not how she can. And
she don't read that.
She's very similar to you in that respect, where she's quite touchy-feely and quite, as I said, I'm not a romantic person, so I don't often come home with like chocolates and flowers and just start hugging her up. But I'll do stuff around the house, like I'll cook, I'll clean, I'll do those things. And it's like trying to ease the pressure in different ways in our relationship and just making it a more wholesome place. And that's how I show my love, is that we're supporting each other in that way, not necessarily with the huggy, kissy, touchy, feely sort of stuff. So, and that's where we often have those disagreements, where it's like, well, you don't really show me love. And I'm like, but I do. What are you talking about?
Of course I do. The bills.
Yeah.
We
have a date now. We went out last week to dinner. Like, come, I'm showing you, like, we want to just spend time together. And it's like, that's not enough, because that's not really what she wants from love. So it's difficult, man.
And it's sometimes not the case that it's not, like, not enough, because then a person will always think they're not enough. It's like, it's just not placed in the right place.
Yeah.
And this is what you have to be careful of. So we're going to get into another recording before, because love language is very important and you should probably research it. But let's get into the second recording, which is from SJP, which is Stefan. So I should just not be
like SJP, a.k.a. Stefan.
let's get straight into it and kind of listen from another perspective.
Love and relationships. Can you see your life with them? This one's an easy one for me. If you know me personally, you know that I am married with two daughters. I've been married for a year and a half. I met my wife when I was 15 years old. I'm 31 at the moment, 31 right now. And when I met my wife, I knew this is someone who I can see myself growing with. This is someone who I can see spending the rest of my life with. There's loads of people who kind of go for, you know, I want a girl who's 5'5" with brown eyes, she's this and she's that, and that very superficial element to things. But I think a key thing for me that people need to keep in mind when they're trying to work out if they can see their life with somebody, yes, the physical attraction is important. Let's not be naive, that is important. But the wider things, I think, have a bigger impact on that answer, which is when it comes down to us having money problems in a relationship or growing separately in regards to what we want to do in life, what we want to get out of life in our careers, can we still be compatible? In regards to how we see ourselves raising kids, we are both different, we're both individuals. How do we have our own stance on things, but also find a way to be able to raise our kids in a kind of compatible way? And if you can't find a way to communicate with somebody and be able to see how you can grow and bounce off of each other, even throughout these different stages in life, you know, you look after a kid up until they're 18 years old and there's different stages that they go through. If you can't see yourself being able to do that with this person, then that kind of answers your question. And it's funny because I've always been someone who says, look, I don't believe that people have one soulmate. I do believe that there are the billions of people that are in the world. To suggest that only one person can help be your partner, I don't use the word complete you, but accompany you, to suggest that one person can do that, and then let's say that one person passes away, you're basically saying that you will never find somebody else again. So I don't think it's fair to say you've only got one soulmate, but I think many people focus too much on the pursuit of perfection, probably more in regards to what society tells them is perfection, more than what actually works for me as an individual and where I see my life going. So yes, can you see your life with somebody? Can you spend the rest of your life with someone? You can, but it's down to communication, it's down to compatibility, and just down to this being open to the fact that you and them will change as individuals as you continue on in life.
Intention was actually my keyword last year. I reevaluated my life in a sense of, you always think you don't have enough time, you're not doing things in the right place. And I actually said, what am I doing with intention? Like, is every action I take intentional? Is every word I say, where I place my time, is it intentional? So I started to reevaluate, what kind of people do I spend my time with? Why do I spend my time with them? Where do I place my attention? So let's focus on the relationship side of things. I was like maybe dating or seeing different people, etc. And when I started to feel I was running out of time or energy, I was like, I don't see myself with a long-term intention with these people. So what's the point of doing it in the first place? What's the point of dating? And then we got to even the part where it was like, what's the point of even having sex with them? Because I don't see myself with a long-term intention. What am I doing? If I think that I have things, the goals I want to achieve, what am I doing in my time? The energy is just going into something. And as if you was in, you're in stocks and trades or in a property, when you invest something, you're expecting that it's going to return. Are you expecting a return from that? So I appreciate that, the fact that you kind of had that thought, deep thought with, yeah, the whole looks and stuff, that is something, but can you see yourself with a long-term intention of this person? Can you grow with them? And then when you bring kids, can you both support the kids to get to that point? And I thought that was really, really important and something to highlight in that particular piece I heard. I'll leave the next part for you, sir.
One thing that we haven't obviously touched on is when you talked about a soulmate.
Mm.
That was interesting because that
might get me in trouble, though. I don't know.
I can get why you would get in trouble, to be fair. But it's interesting because obviously what you were saying is like the pursuit of finding your perfect partner. Does that even exist? Or is it a case of you learn to grow with that person and then they become essentially your perfect partner? There's no point in trying to look for someone who's already got the ideal model for exactly what you want. For me, that doesn't exist.
Mm.
It's all about growing. And as you said, people change the older they get as well. So the person that you meet at the time may be perfect, but who's to say they're going to be perfect later on down the line? Definitely. Or they may be imperfect at the time and then they may turn into the perfect person. So it kind of works hand in hand. So I was interested when you started talking about, well, does a soulmate even exist? Or is it soulmates? Is there more than one? And then that kind of delves into the question of, okay, well, how do you then find that the person that you're with is your soulmate? How do you discover that? And then what that then leads you on to making that commitment to say, okay, I want to spend the rest of my life with you.
And I think that's the key thing, is that there's so many, I can talk from obviously the experience of first meeting my wife when I was 15. And obviously we've been together, we've broken up, we've had our moments, and that happens. But at the same time, it's that thing of the person that I met when I was 15 is not the person that I'm with today.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't the person that I was with 5 years ago or 10 years ago. But the consistent thing was the feeling. The consistent thing was that we clicked and that we had a common goal regarding what we think about when it comes to kids, what we think about regarding our career, what we think about regarding just money, homes and stuff like that. And it was just, for me, that fact of when you start to realize, even when someone's changing, that it's still there, you realize that's kind of dope.
Mm.
I think there's, I've met brothers who will be with a girl and they like her and everything's blessed, and then there will be something small that will happen, but then they will realize in the long run, me and you can't work. It, and it could be something as small as, Raf, her sister had a baby, child's only 3 months old, and she bought her Gucci shoes. and as a man, he's like, that's dumb. Like, you're gonna, that's going to last like a month. You spend all that money on shoes, that's going to last a month. And then they're going to be, I don't want someone who's going to make those kind of decisions where we might be struggling at home, but you're buying all of these outfits for a kid that's not going to last very long.
Mm.
And it's something small. It's not maybe the best example, but it's enough for you to go, is this someone who I can have 5, 6, 7 kids with?
Mm.
Not to say that you want to have 5, 6, 7 kids, but if it's some, if there's stuff that you're picking up on in a, at the early stage of a relationship, I think that's what allows you to kind of go back to that question and go, can I live with this person? Can I retire my dating life to this person?
Mm.
I think that to link the two of your your voice notes. So Simon was mentioning about kind of like difficulties of what the partner, somebody expects of him, or what we expect of our partners, and vice versa, what they expect of us. And then your one was basically kind of like, you know, that you've changed from 15, when you were 15 to 31, things have changed dramatically. And I've had this conversation with a lot of people this week, and something I've even had to deal with is expectation is a lie. In a sense, we create an expectation of people, yeah, and then that person doesn't match the expectation, and then we think they're wrong.
Mm.
When actually, you create an expectation in the first place makes you wrong. And I've said this to other people. It's and there's no two ways about it. You're in a world full of people who are also human beings on their own journey, on their own way, and their own personality, their own way that they interpret things have learnt, and you're doing the same thing. They're not in your world. You're not in their world. You share a world together. And these people already exist. To create an expectation is to believe that you know exactly how they're supposed to be, how the world is supposed to look, how the partner's supposed to be. And to even expect that you even know about yourself. How many mistakes have you made in the last year, 10 years, even the last month or day?
Last 12 hours, bro.
Exactly. If you can't even know what you're going to do and you make mistakes, how could you possibly predict how a person's supposed to be and how they're supposed to be your perfect partner? I bet you that there are people that actually curate their perfect partner and they do everything they said they wanted, and then you've lost the person you originally loved in the first place.
This is it.
So as you said, the end part of your voice note was that you will change, and once you can have like consistent values as to what it means to care for each other, love each other, be there for each other, a person should be able to change as freely as possible. The whole point is to be with people that allow you to be free and allow you to grow without judgment and without holding you back from where you was. Because otherwise, if you still thought you was going to be the same person 15 years ago, you wouldn't have two kids and you wouldn't still be married. It's impossible. So that's the two things I would definitely say is expectation is going to be the one thing that ruins your entire relationship or your friendships, even your family.
Any relationship.
Anything. Even at work, it will ruin it. Don't have an expectation. You either adapt or you make a standstill and say, I can't stand for this. So I'm going to eject myself from your life because that's what I need to do for myself. Again, people are like, no, you know what? I want to force myself to stay in a relationship and you're going to have to change. Please.
That's stupid.
So
nobody's going to do that.
What's everyone's thoughts on, because I know, so I probably didn't address it, so let's talk about it. What's your thoughts on the whole soulmate situation? Do you think there's only out of a billion people in the world, and you know, this has got nothing to do with who you're with at the moment. Again, just to clarify that. But what I'll do, I'll give my point. I'm not saying that my wife's not my soulmate. My wife is my soulmate. But what I'm not gonna say is, let's flip it. If I was to pass away tomorrow, I wouldn't want my wife, and I wouldn't expect my wife to never find love again. She will never find someone like me, and that's not because I'm me, but just in general, like, I'm a person. Like, I've got a certain code, that so you will never find another Stefan. But that doesn't mean you can't find somebody else who you can fall in love with, who can raise your kids the right way, who can give you the right love language. So for me, to have all these billions of people in the world, you're going to have more than one soulmate in some way or another who can tick at least 6 out of 7 out of 10 boxes that you require. But that seems to be a controversial thing. Some people go like, well, no, there can only be one soulmate and you have to be with them for the rest of your life until you're 120. Like,
again, the stuff that we talked about is society and TV and media has taught us that so there's certain tick boxes that we think we know, and you think that society knew, but how many times has society done you dirty? Or how many times have you watched celebrities get together and they said, oh, this is the perfect, this is couple goals. And then like 2 years later, they could divorce. You're like, right, I was trying to follow that. So what do I happen now? Do I divorce too? People are multifaceted beings. They have so many different aspects of them, from creativity to being very strategic and organized and loving a certain way, et cetera, et cetera. We actually attach to people, loads of people, billions of people, or millions of people in our lifetimes, where there's certain people that will, this person is good for me in this way, this person good for me in this way, this person good for me in this way. They will never find another Stefan that does exactly the same things that they do. But I do believe a person could find another partner who ticks off other boxes, like, oh, they're creative together. Or maybe you're just the creative and then the other one's just the organized one. I believe there are, we all have different people for different things. If we can step away from what we believe we learnt, we can actually realize there's so much about us that we don't understand, which will then kind of touch and connect to other people. So yeah, I do believe there can be multiple soulmates, etc. And then you come to a point, yes, the people have this controversy, oh, but if you believe there's other soulmates, that means you're going to start straying away. No. If we go back to the original thing of intention, you're intentionally choosing that I have this person with me now. Yes. I'm going to give you everything I have to make it work and to go far with you. Just because there's a potential of other people does not mean that I should have it. That's ego that's telling me that I should just go for everything. No. One life to live, you only have a certain amount of time, energy, etc. So try to pick your person, be intentional about it, and you will realize you don't need anything else.
The problem, obviously, that we've discovered is that when you have an expectation and you have the assumption of something, that's like the biggest problem you can have. That's what I think, for me, that's what causes the most issues within a relationship. As soon as you start putting those expectations on someone and you start creating assumptions of certain things without communication, it's going to be a rocky road, isn't it? So I think the issue with what we have in relationships is trying to define what the perfect relationship is meant to be. And the fact of the matter is everybody has their own definition. So your definition of what a perfect relationship could be is different to what Craig's definition of what it could be, different to what your wife maybe has. You understand what I'm saying? So understanding that we all have our different opinions, and I think the only way that realistically you can have a relationship that works and that grows is to have that communication and that understanding, where there isn't an expectation and there isn't assumptions. You just communicate.
And yours?
Do you know what? To be fair, you kind of, I think the moment, because the moment you use the word communicate, I was like, that is it. I think regardless of, when we talk about relationships, we can be talking about how we are with our parents, how we are with our work colleagues, how we are with our kids. It all comes down to one simple word, and that's communication. And, you know, if you're not communicating things the right way, people get the wrong message and people take things the wrong way. And if you look back at any relationship that hasn't worked well, you could probably say, oh, it's because we probably didn't speak about this. Or, no, I didn't get that promotion. Maybe I should have explained that I was quite interested in it. Maybe I didn't tell them that I'm qualified to have that job enough. So for me, I feel I kind of summarize it again on that one word, communication.
Mine, I'm going to be a little bit different because it was a challenge that I went through. And mine is going to be let go. Especially man them, but also women, let go of fear for when you're not taking the step to either start dating, start trying to find somebody, or if you're in a relationship, going all the way, 2 feet in is what I call it. I was a one pinky toe person. I got my life and then I'm just going to put the pinky toe when I feel like it, but I'm 2 feet in with like what I try to do with everything now, not just my relationship. So I would say the key thing is let go. And lead your life in love, not in fear. If we had only two choices, every choice you make, you could either make it in love or in fear. Love for something or fear because you think it's not going to work. Leave the fear behind. Do it in love. We only have one life to live, so take your risks and enjoy every single moment that you have and then go for it. So,
nice.
That was all of us here about Valentine's Day. I hope you lot are having a very, very special day. And if you're not, and you're just Netflix and popcorn and chocolate, bruv, enjoy it.
That's your love language, do it.
That's exactly. You know what? We have one life, so we don't, we're not just worrying about everybody else. So just enjoy yourselves and any probably that's couples. Best of luck with the year to ahead and way beyond. So he was here with Craig.
Here with Simon, a.k.a. SJ.
And here with Stefan, a.k.a. SJP.
As you always know, if you have any thoughts, any feedback, any what is your love language, all these things, we really want to know because we don't want to just talk at you. You can also talk to us. So have a good day. Peace out and enjoy.
Bless.